Hey, all Scott here. If you're like me, you need coffee. Lots of it. And you probably prefer it tastes good, too. Well, let me tell you about Darren's Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. Darren Marion is a natural entrepreneur who decided to leave his corporate job and strike out on his own, making great coffee. And Darren's Coffee is now delivering right to your door. Darren gets his beans direct from farmers around the world. All specialty, premium grade, with no filler. Hey, the man just wants everyone to have a chance to taste this great coffee. darrenscoffee.com. Use promo code Scott and you get free shipping. darrenscoffee.com. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. All right. Hey, check it out. I got the great Jason Ditz on the line. Thank goodness for that. Hey, Jason, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing real good. Appreciate you joining us today. Everybody, you know Jason. He's the writer of all important news stories all day, every day at news.antiwar.com. He's the news director there, something like that, right? And man, you gotta read, news.antiwar.com. Obviously, all the top headlines there, or just bookmark the thing. And all day, every day, the best write-ups of all the breakingest news and all the most important news with all the most important parts that you need to understand highlighted for you with links to the original sources and the rest. And, just worth his weight in platinum. And he's a big guy. Alright. So, and I'm just assuming platinum is worth more than gold right now, but I don't really know. And in fact, he could tell you that because he's also a financial writer, too. Jason, I like you. All right, now, let's talk about some news. I don't want to know or care anything about this Korea movie thing, and I know that you probably don't either, but I know that you've already put yourself through learning everything about it so you could explain it to the rest of us, so please do tell.
Well, Sony made this movie called The Interview, which they put a little over $40 million into creating, and tens of millions of dollars into advertising. And it's basically a comedy. Seth Rogen goes to North Korea to interview Kim Jong-un and is recruited by the CIA along the way to assassinate him while he's there, because apparently that's a thing. And North Korea expressed their usual outrage at any movie / video game / anything else that includes North Korea in it. Somebody hacked Sony Pictures, leaked a bunch of their content, did huge damage to their servers. The U.S. is saying they're convinced it's North Korea, but they don't really have any evidence to support that because they're saying the attackers weren't in North Korea. But they think, if nothing else, North Korea was probably supportive of it. And that's apparently good enough. But with this movie coming closer and closer to release, it was supposed to be, it was supposed to come out today at a couple theaters and then general release Christmas. The hacker group, whoever they happen to be, threatened to 9/11 all the movie theaters, which is insane.
You know this is just Matthew Broderick in his bedroom goofing around. What in the world?
I know. This is, I mean, first of all, what does that even mean to 9/11 all the movie theaters? Are they going to literally crash planes into every single movie theater in the United States?
And who's going to do that? North Korea?
Yeah.
They got sleeper cells all over America, ready to attack, huh?
I mean, even if North Korea is behind this, which there's some doubt about, they certainly aren't capable of attacking every movie theater in the United States. And whatever hacker group they're working with or is working on their own certainly isn't capable of that. But insurance premiums being what they are, and all insurance policies saying we don't cover terrorism, a lot of the big movie theater companies bailed on the movie and said, well, we're not going to show it on Christmas.
Oh, man.
And Sony, deciding that nothing was better than something, said, well, if the big theaters aren't going to show it, we're not going to release it at all. And in fact, they went so far as to say, not only are they not releasing it in theaters, there are no plans to even bring it out on DVD, which seems even more ridiculous because
they're going to 9/11 all our houses.
Yeah, what are they? They're going to attack every DVD player in the United States? I mean, that's just even more ridiculous. But for now, Sony is just saying, well, we're going to just sit on this movie forever. And I'm sure they'll come around eventually because they put too much money into it not to, but...
Man. So, you know, this whole thing about the Sony hack started as a story that I'm seeing in the margin of all the things I'm reading, but I don't care about. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some producer said something about some movie star that I don't care about, you know, big deal kind of thing. And now they've gone and made it a thing that I have to pay attention to. And what they've done, Jason, if I'm reading you right, if I'm hearing the story that you're telling correctly, what you're saying is that the Americans are doing everything they can, I guess, or the theater companies, the corporations involved here, the insurance companies involved here, are doing everything they can to show the world that there's no one easier to push around than the crybaby, tiny, little, helpless American people. Absurd is what Benjamin Netanyahu called it. It's worse than that. If a non-existent threat from a hacker who probably does not represent the state of North Korea, which could not attack America in any sense, in any way, or threaten American movie theaters in any way, can get an entire movie pulled from being released at all due to just a threatening email that could shut down an entire movie across the country. I mean, that is just, somebody called it the Twilight Zone, but that's not right. This is like Krusty the Clown Show. This is just beyond the theater of the absurd. I don't understand. I must not understand. What did I leave out? What did I miss? Did they actually, like, kill somebody? Did they do something?
No. To somebody? They just hacked Sony and then sent him a threatening email, like you said, and then that was all it took.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Fitzy G's saying the whole thing's a publicity stunt anyway. It very well could be. You know, I was just reading a thing about, I had no idea what it was I was reading, Jason, but they made reference to how during World War II, they even had a slogan for it that you're supposed to memorize. You may know it, the cliche for it about something about a stiff upper lip or something along those lines, about how Brits, when a V-2 rocket goes off and kills 200 people, they're supposed to go about their day and go get a pint at the pub and be brave. Because what are you going to do? Bow down and quiver and cry in front of Hitler and the Nazis? No. Right? And so 40,000 people died in the terror bombing of the Battle of Britain. 40,000 people were killed. And they didn't go and just sit and adopt as a national policy, flogging themselves and crying and being the biggest baby that they could. And I'm sure there's a lot of crying over and a lot of grief, but it wasn't adopted as a national policy of, oh, boo-hoo, what victims we are, for crying out loud. And this is unreal. I can't even believe what you're telling me. This sounds like the plot of some stupid movie.
It really does, and... I mean...
I'm sorry. I should come up with good questions to ask you.
Well, it's just so absurd. I mean, North Korea literally threatens to attack the United States and to wipe out the United States several times a year.
Yeah, yeah. At least every April. You know, they never miss an April.
Every April, there's the U.S.-South Korea joint war games along North Korea where they pretend to attack North Korea. North Korea gets all riled up. Everything calms down when they have to send their troops back to start planting crops so they don't all starve to death because their collectivized farm system just flat out doesn't work. And if they didn't use the military to plant crops and harvest them, half the country would starve. But they come up with these idle threats that nobody takes seriously anymore, but somehow Sony does.
Man. Yeah, it's amazing to me that the way all the theaters reacted to this, too, instead of saying, yeah, right, I'll tell you what, we'll post an armed guard, you know, well, something easy, I don't know. But anyway, what a joke. Well, when we get back, I'm going to ask you probably one more question along these lines, which is about, you know, what you know about the origin of the actual Sony hack, for what interest it is. And then we'll talk about important stuff, like maybe some Palestine or some other things.
Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop, which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com.
All right, y'all, welcome back. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, The Scott Horton Show. Talking with Jason Ditz from antiwar.com, news.antiwar.com. And we're talking about this North Korea thing. Apparently, you know, a bunch of right-wingers are saying we got to go to war with North Korea now, which brings us back to the question. Jason, do you know of any reason to believe that North Korea has anything to do with this, really, at all?
Not at all. In fact, North Korea denied having anything to do with it, which, I mean, okay, then they say, well, they're probably lying, but when has that ever been North Korea's MO? They always brag about everything they do and half the stuff they don't do.
Right. And all the threats are coming from the same people who did the hack and not from any other North Korean known origin or anything like that.
Right.
And that's it. Okay. Yeah, you know, somehow I'm still not convinced. Okay, well, next question. So what about the State Department influence in here? I actually saw a tweet yesterday from an AP reporter said, well, I have sources in the State Department who say it's not true, but something from these emails say that the State Department gave at least an okay on this. What about that?
Right. And
on the production of the movie, which is the plot is killing the dictator there.
Right. And it goes farther than them just giving the okay to it. The Rand Corporation actually had a advisor/consultant for the creation of the movie, and he lobbied really hard for them to leave the successful assassination plot, spoiler alert, at the end of the movie in, even though Sony was like, well, we might get some flack from actually assassinating a foreign world leader at the end of a movie. And the Rand Corporation thought it was a good idea to leave this in the hopes that it would inspire North Koreans, who were obviously never going to see the movie in the first place, to actually assassinate him.
Really? And that was the purpose of it. It wasn't just that, well, we don't have a problem with it. Yeah, go ahead. What do we care? I don't know. It wasn't just, yeah, you know, we like the idea of spreading the meme out there in the world that, you know, Kim Jong-un died, but they specifically thought this will inspire North Koreans to turn around and kill him if only they see a movie like that.
Right. Right. Seth Rogen is all it's going to take.
Yes, there's something very absurd about this all, I think. All right, well, speaking of absurd, that is, like I mentioned earlier, what Benjamin Netanyahu says about American support for his government. Oh, yeah, they support us like 80%. It's absurd. The Americans, they're easily moved, he said. Oh, yeah, you can go watch the video of it on YouTube if you get a friend who speaks Hebrew to translate it, but I don't think anybody's really disputed the subtitles there. We can all go and look at it ourselves. So that brings us to Israel's relationship with the Palestinians, which is, of course, entirely wrapped up in American foreign policy in every way. There's no way to pretend that this is just like, I don't know, if there was a border dispute in Mongolia somewhere or whatever. This is which that would probably be America's fault too somehow, but this is entirely America's responsibility here, the U.S. government's responsibility, the situation going on there. And there are a lot of new developments here. And the latest headline you have at news.antiwar.com, Jason, says, Geneva Conventions invoke rights of Palestinians, but Israel insists Geneva Conventions don't apply. How so?
Well, they're arguing that this is in particular about the Fourth Geneva Convention, which covers the treatment of civilians under military occupation, which, of course, would include the Palestinians because they're under military occupation. Israel's argument is, well, they're under military occupation, but the question of sovereignty over the West Bank and Gaza is so murky that it shouldn't apply. Because it's not like we just invaded and occupied. We've controlled this territory for decades and decades. The Palestinians never had an independent state, and Jordan doesn't want the West Bank back, and Egypt doesn't want the Gaza Strip back. So there's not a opposition faction claiming legitimate sovereignty over that territory. So their argument is, well, then the Fourth Geneva Convention just doesn't apply.
Well, but then even according to that bogus argument, couldn't Abu Mazen or Abu Abbas, they call him, what's his name? Whichever. The leader of the PA, he could just say, you know, I'm declaring myself the leader of a state. This is a state and we want all these rights. Wouldn't that undermine that entire argument right there without Egypt or Jordan being involved?
Well, it does. And they have, the Palestinians have claimed sovereignty over this right. territory.
But they don't even address that. The Israelis don't address that in their argument? Or they say that doesn't count?
The silly argument is that there's no historical basis for an independent Palestine, so they can't claim their own sovereignty.
Okay. Well, that's completely ridiculous. And the law didn't recognize that. Of course, the Ottoman Empire used to rule Palestine. They're saying unless the Ottomans had created an independent state and set it free back when, or if the British had... before they gave it to the Israelis, then that would be perfectly fine then. And then they would, of course, have the right to invoke the Geneva Conventions and our military occupation of their territory. But since the Ottoman Turks never gave them their own state back when, then that means we don't have to recognize their rights today.
Right. And that's basically it. And the conference, which the U.S. boycotted because... it was about Israel, and they boycott anything that's about Israel that Israel doesn't like, found that, yes, the Fourth Geneva Convention does apply in the occupied territories, which is important because Israel is violating that on numerous counts. I mean, the big things in the Geneva Convention are no collective punishment, you're not allowed to... conduct any population transfers from the occupying state into the occupied territories, which is exactly what the settlements are.
Right. And no, that's the excuse they're claiming is, listen, we're in the middle of stealing this territory, so it's murky. We're occupying it. We're colonizing it. We're taking it from them. So how can they say it belongs to them when we've gotten away with it so long so far?
Right. And that's the whole point of the Fourth Geneva Convention is that you're not allowed to do that. But,
I know a lot of people get emotional about this, Jason, but I would just ask people in the audience who are just, you know, reacting against this, you know, knee-jerk fashion, to just stop and consider for a moment if it was the other way around. If the Palestinian, Muslim, and Christian Arabs had rounded up all the Jews and forced them into the Gaza Strip concentration camp, or colonized them and built these giant walls to imprison them and treat them as... at least, you know, fourth or fifth or tenth class citizens of one degree or another there in the occupied West Bank. If it was the other way around and it was the Palestinian, Arab, Christians, and Muslims doing this to the Jews, Americans would be absolutely freaking out. Well, same difference. It's the exact same difference. That's all it is. And in fact, you know what, Americans? You know, the Jewish Israelis, more of them might look white and European like us, but you can't speak their language any more than you speak Arabic. So what the hell? Why should Americans defer to the Israelis in this situation when they're the aggressors, when their excuses are laughable because they're lying, because what they're doing is wrong and it's so obvious on its face all day, every day? It's wrong for Americans to continue to pretend that the poor Israelis are the underdogs in this damn thing. It's just not so.
Well, right, and I mean... historically, this happened a lot. Historically, occupying neighboring lands and then colonizing them like this is how states grew. But this is not the Middle Ages. This is not the way things are supposed to work anymore. And the Geneva Convention, the whole point of them is to spell out that things like torturing occupied civilians, expelling populations... creating colonies, those things aren't to be done anymore in a civilized world. But Israel does them openly and insists that the situation's just too murky to criticize.
Yep. Well, you know, I know the excuse is wearing thin. In a lot of places, it seems like people are pretty much just over... you know, any kind of expectation that the American-led Oslo-style peace process thing is ever going to kick in. So it's a new day. I don't know what's going to happen next. I know a lot of people are pushing for a one-state solution or different routes to two states, but it seems like they're going to be big changes, politically speaking, anyway, if not the facts on the ground here coming soon. Oh. Well, what do you think? European, what, the EU just recognized, took Hamas off the terrorist list today. That's indication of something there. Anyway, I'm sorry. I don't always phrase things in the form of a question, Jason, and obviously we're out of time now, too, so sorry about that. Thank you for your great journalism all the time, man. You do great work.
Sure, thanks for having me.
That's Jason Ditschel, news.antiwar.com. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.
So you're a libertarian, and you don't believe the propaganda about government awesomeness you were subjected to in fourth grade. You want real history and economics. Well, learn in your car from professors you can trust with Tom Woods's Liberty Classroom. And if you join through the Liberty Classroom link at scotthorton.org, we'll make a donation to support the Scott Horton Show. Liberty Classroom, the history and economics they didn't teach you.
Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. This nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone. We are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at scotthorton.org or thewarstate.com. Phone records, financial and location data, Prism, Tempora, X-Keyscore, Boundless Informant. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for offnow.org. Now, here's the deal. Due to the Snowden revelations, we have a great opportunity for a short period of time to get some real rollback of the national surveillance state. Now, they're already trying to tire us by introducing fake reforms in the Congress. And the courts, they betrayed their sworn oaths to the Constitution and Bill of Rights again and again, and can in no way be trusted to stop the abuses for us. We've got to do it ourselves. How? We nullify it at the state level. It's still not easy, but the OffNow project of the 10th Amendment Center has gotten off to a great start. I mean it. There's real reason to be optimistic here. They've gotten their model legislation introduced all over the place, in state after state. I've lost count, more than a dozen. You're always wondering, yeah, but what can we do? Here's something. Something important. Something that can work if we do the work. Get started cutting off the NSA support in your state. Go to offnow.org.